¡Órale! Bienvenidos and welcome to a solo edition of the Familia FFP podcast. I'm Jorge Georgi Martin, as I said, volando solo. So, gracias for joining us. Como siempre, es un placer. Glad you're listening in. Make sure to check out our website at familiaffp.com, as well as our social media channels at familiaffp on Twitter and Instagram, and our Familia FFP Facebook page. So, recording this on Wednesday evening, September 2nd. Little bit of a heavy heart. One of the all-time greats in baseball, Tom Terrific Seaver, passed away this afternoon at age 75. One of the all-time greats, Hall of Famer, 300-game winner, 3,000 strikeouts, just one of the dominant pitchers of his time. He's forever a hero in New York for the 1969 amazing Mets. I think it was Reggie Jackson who once said that a blind man could hear Tom Seaver pitch. So, again, RIP, big guy, RIP. Vaya con Dios. We're finishing up our preview series with the NFC South today. Finishing that one up, starting off with the Atlanta Falcons. Finished 7-9 last year and led by Matty Ice, Mateo Yello, Matt Ryan, who just had, the guy just keeps trucking along. 4,466 yards last year passing. It was the first time he missed a game since 2009. He sprained his ankle. He did have 300 plus yard games in four of his last five games, though he did not surpass two touchdowns in a game after week five, 26 touchdowns after he had 35 the previous season. So, still a consistent performer. I believe he's 35 years old, really, really good player. Now, the thing about him, the offensive line was partly at fault for that sprained ankle. They were they're going into the season at number 24 in the offense in PFF Pro Football Focus's rankings. Looking at him, it's you're expecting more of the same. I mean, he's gonna be great. But you want to make sure you keep him upright. He was tied for first in sacks last year at 48, and he got hit 62 times, which is number three. So, you want to keep the guy upright and healthy. No more missed games, because he has got some weapons. You look at Julio Jones. He's going off the board as the wide receiver four, number two, going 2.04 early in the second round. Finished with this guy's almost a lock for 100 receptions and 1,300 plus yards. He is just fantastic. He's wonderful. There are those naysayers who keep talking about him needing to catch more touchdown passes, but come on, man. This guy's good. When you're good, you're good. He's going to help you every week. The guy's going to almost average 100 yards receiving, which is going to help you. And in PPR, those 100 receptions are going to help. So load him up, grab him early, and just sit back and enjoy. He's going to have those weeks like week 15 against San Francisco, one of the better secondaries. He got 20 targets that week and still finished with 13 receptions, 134 yards and two touchdowns. So he comes through when he does. Calvin Ridley finished with Calvin Ridley, it just seems to be flying up the draft boards right now. He's currently going at wide receiver 16. I've seen some experts have him in the top 10. I think I even heard one have him as number 7. They're expecting him to be this year's Chris Godwin, that year 3 receiver who just takes a big step forward. He had 63 receptions last year on 93 targets, 866 receiving yards in only 13 games. But they had 209 vacated targets from 2019, a lot of them from Mohamed Sanu. So you look you look at Ridley as someone who is going to jump. His last four games, he had, 27 receptions and 37 targets, 395 receiving yards, and three TDs. So you look at him, I mean, you multiply that by four, that's over 100 receiving yards, pushing 1,600 yards, and 12 TDs. I'd take that. So let's fire up and grab Ridley. He's going in the fourth round right now. He's looking like a good value if he can keep up that pace. Can't really expect him to keep up that pace, but if you get a guy who puts up like Robert Woods type numbers, 90 receptions, 1,100 yards, and 6 to 10 touchdowns, Ridley has had a nose for the end zone in the past. So he had 10 TDs his rookie season, and 7 more last year. So maybe he's gonna get those this year. Back to the running back position, Todd Gurley. A little bit with tough to say that for me as a Ram fan that he's going to be the lead back for the Atlanta Falcons, but yes, eso pasa. That happens from time to time. Kind of a rough season for him last year, even though he did finish with 14 TDs and he was one of the top 10 running backs, but it was the 14 TDs that pushed him up there because he did not finish with 1,000 yards, ended up with 857, and he didn't get 100 yards in any one game. And, when you look at some of his, rushing and receiving numbers from 17 and 18, he had over 2,000 combined yards in 2017. And 2018, he had over 1,800 in 14 games. So he's just a wonderful, wonderful player when healthy. That's the question. Is he healthy? That knee is troublesome. There's been talk of it being arthritic and the team managing him. I mean, for being 26 years old, people are talking about his knees like he's 40 or 50 years old. So there were reports on him limping during training camp earlier on the sidelines. So something to monitor. He's going as the RB15 right now in the third round. I will say I have been fading him a lot on that. Just he did not look like he had that same burst last year when he was running, and I'm just wondering if the fact that the Rams released him, even if the Falcons try and feed him a lot, is he going to be up to the challenge? Where either his performance is subpar or does he get hurt again? Something to stay tuned. Again, I'm fading this one. One tight end, Hayden Hurst, is getting a little bit of talk. He's going to tight end 11 in the eighth round in a lot of current ADP. He was in Mark Andrews' shadow a lot, and also Lamar Jackson, because he was picked 7 picks ahead of him in the 2018 draft. So you look at Hurst and you wonder, okay, was he just not that good, or was Mark Andrews just that good? I'm kind of leaning toward the Mark Andrews is just that good. Hayden Hurst is getting a little bit of hype and a little bit of love. They do like to throw to their tight end. They threw to Matt Ryan threw 97 times to Austin Hooper last year, connected on 75 targets. That was only in 13 games. So if you figure Hayden Hurst is going to get somewhere around 100 receptions, you're going to like the numbers that he's going to get. It's going to be a lot more, way beyond the 30 receptions for 349 receiving yards that he had last year. So, but again, you still want to see him do it. It is year three. So tight ends sometimes, they grow up and they mature in year three. So, that's definitely something to keep an eye on this one. He's, ponlo en la mira. You're looking at their schedule a little bit. There are some games that are kind of interesting there. You do have Seattle in the first game. They did improve with Jamal Adams, but they were not particularly, they would have to improve a lot with Jamal Adams because they were number 27 against the pass last year and number 22 against the run. But then after that, you got Dallas, who is looking to take a step backward. You do have Chicago, but then Green Bay and Carolina both were defenses that were not top 10 before last year. Carolina is especially expected to be one of the worst defenses in the game. And then in the back those weeks 14 and 16, the Chargers are could be tough on again with their great pass rush. So keep Mateo yellow upright. But then you got Tampa Bay, who had its problems against the pass last year. They were great against the run, number one against the run. And then Kansas City, who was pretty tough against the pass, not so great against the run. So, you know, these Falcons, they're going to score points. You just want to, you know, fire them up, grab them wherever you can. Another team that's going to be scoring a lot of points this year, probably going to, because they have to, is going to be the Carolina Panthers. They had just an exodus from their defense on a team that finished 5-11 last year. And really, they were offensively, they were the Christian McCaffrey and DJ Moore show. That was pretty much it. Their quarterback, after Cam Newton got hurt, was just a revolving door. You know, it was... It just was not good. So Teddy Bridgewater is coming in to kind of try and solidify that position. And, you know, he had a 5-game audition last year with the Saints when Drew Brees went out with a broken thumb, and he played well, 5-0 as a starter for the first time since 2015. You know, he completed almost 68% of his passes. He didn't throw for a ton of yards. He did, you know, 1,384 yards in those 5 games, though he did throw for 314 yards, going 26-34 with 4 touchdowns in week 5 against Tampa Bay. He was throwing to Michael Thomas a lot that day. But again, you know, he doesn't have a reputation for throwing the ball down the field a lot. You know, he did have 7.1 yards per attempt last year, which was respectable. He's going to be feeding the ball, you know, a lot of intermediate throws. I mean, you look at DJ Moore and you just sit there and you're like, well, you know, Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator, came from New Orleans via LSU last year, where they just set records all over the place. But, you know, he definitely had the one receiver, Michael Thomas, where they just fed the guy. And you kind of look at DJ Moore as that guy that could get fed a lot this year. He had 135 targets last year and 87 receptions. You got to figure, with better accuracy coming from Teddy Bridgewater, he's gonna do a lot better. You'd love to see those touchdowns come up. He finished with 4 on only 12 red zone targets. So you want to think about him. He's gonna get fed a lot of targets this year. And you know, this is someone who could be really, you know, flirting with 100 receptions this year. He is, you know, that kind of receiver last year. He's going off the board at wide receiver 12. I could see him finishing in the top 10 if he doubles up on those receptions. He's, you know, he's going to be the number one receiver in this and just a target monster. Another guy, I'm surprised I'm waiting this long to talk about him, because really there are just not enough superlatives for run CMC. Christian McCaffrey, RB1, 1.01, 1,000 yards rushing, 1,000 yards receiving. He was only the third player in NFL history to get that, joining Marshall Faulk and Roger Craig. I mean, you look at his finishes last year. He had 13 top 10 RB finishes last year, with 6 of those being either number 2 or number 1 running back for that week. I mean, just incredible. He had 10 plus targets in 6 of his last games. You know, he had over 100 targets each one of his 3 seasons in the NFL. He's, you know, he finished with 19 total touchdowns last year on the heels of 13 touchdowns last year. 93.4% of snaps last year. You know, you look at him and you start thinking at, you know, at his youth, at age 24, is he kind of entering that rarefied air that LaDainian Tomlinson is? Is he already in? Is Christian McCaffrey in that rarefied air where LT had 6 straight years where he was just utterly dominant, one of the top running backs there? McCaffrey has been that for the last 2 years. Everything is pointing toward him being the favorite to be the RB1 again, which people don't necessarily repeat on that. But even if he doesn't repeat on that, a healthy season from him, I'm predicting he's going to finish with 1,000 receiving yards again, because this defense is not going to be good. Not going to be good. A couple of other interesting stats on him. Yards after the catch as a receiver, he finished number one in the NFL with 1,019 yards. He finished with 1,005 receiving yards total. He did have some negative yardage, but I mean, how amazing is that? How amazing is that? He also had 14 broken tackles on receptions, which was number one in the league. So, you know, just you, if you have the good fortune to pick number one or have him in a dynasty league, just sit back and enjoy. Just look for those highlights, and they're going to be coming. A couple of receivers to look at: Curtis Samuel and Robbie Anderson. Curtis Samuel going off as the wide receiver 56 in the 13th round. Robbie Anderson right behind him, wide receiver 58 in the 14th round. Samuel, you know, it's granted he's here again. You know, he's going into his fourth year, so you're looking at him as the possibility of could he be this year's Devontae Parker, that player who explodes in year four without really having done anything. Samuel is a round two pick back in 2017, sorry. And after having a very decorated career at Ohio State, so nothing's worked out for him. This may be the last time that he may be somebody to get selected in the draft, because this could go into the, you know, Laquan Treadwell era, where the guy that you keep expecting to blow up and he just doesn't do it. Moore was the guy who blew up last year. So when there was hype around both of them, so maybe a little more for Samuel. So we'll see. He did play. Maybe the bad quarterback play cost him a few long balls that just were uncatchable for him when he had a step on a defender. So maybe Teddy B will throw some balls his way and be able to unlock the talent. The interesting part about Robbie Anderson, he and new head coach of the Panthers, Matt Rhule, they go back to the Temple days. So, maybe there's that familiarity that Coach Rhule will be able to unleash, because that was Anderson was the only home run threat on really what was a bad Jet offense for several years in a row. So you get over to Carolina, it's expected to be a better offense, better quarterback play. You look at him compared to Samuel. Do you follow the money and figure, okay, they invested in Anderson? Are they going to be able to? Are they going to decide to favor him on the targets? Never know on that one. Another player to kind of keep an eye on is Ian Thomas. He's going off as the tight end 29 in the 19th round, so he's largely going undrafted in redraft leagues. He was the backup to Greg Olsen most of the last season. He did play some at the end of the 2018 season, his rookie year. Had a couple of good games there at the end. Helped me and my partner Dan win a championship in the Dodger Fantasy Football League. But the interesting thing is he's year three and going in. And you got to look at the fact, you got to like the fact that he's going to be in an offense that favors to throw the ball. And now that he's the only tight end, he could be that underneath threat for Ted Bridgewater. So this is a year that fantasy experts are recommending to grab a second tight end. Maybe Ian Thomas is one of them. So, or if not, keep an eye on him on the waiver wire if he's getting a lot of play earlier on in the season. looking at them, they got some inviting matchups early in the season. You know, they got the Raiders coming out of the box, and then against and then the Buccaneers in week two. So they could be getting some good passing work. You know, some big gains on the passing side. You know, week four you got Arizona. How much are they going to improve upon their defense last year? They were really bad against the pass, especially against tight end. And Atlanta, I know they had invested in some defensive backs in the draft, but again, those players sometimes take a while to grow up, especially in this COVID season. So looking at them, you know, there are some players. I mean, obviously Christian McCaffrey, you play him every week, and Teddy Bridgewater could be a sneaky play in two quarterback leagues, so keep an eye on him. And obviously you play DJ Moore every week, because that guy es un monstruo. He is a man. Looking forward to the New Orleans Saints. Not much to say about this other than superlatives. You know, it all starts with Drew Brees, one of the all-time greats, the all-time NFL leader in passing yardage and touchdowns. I mean, just great. I mean, he is 41, but he just did not look like he lost anything, even coming back from the broken thumb. He completed 74.3% of his passes, and even in 11 games, he threw for 27 touchdowns. He was absolutely incandescent weeks 14 to 16. He was the QB1 during those fantasy playoffs when you needed him the most. He was even ahead of Lamar Jackson. So that just tells you how good he was in those weeks. He threw five TDs in a game against San Francisco during that run. So five TDs and 349 yards. Threw for 12 TDs total during that three-game stretch. So, again, he's going off the board at QB10 in the seventh round. So you look at him, and, I mean, he's just a guy who's going to be money in the bank. He's not going to help you much on the running side. But, again, he's just going to throw a lot of those short and intermediate balls and be great. And the Saints have one of the best offensive lines, ranked number two by Pro Football Focus. So you look at him and you know, maybe he's not going to throw the long ball, but maybe he doesn't need it because he's got good weapons all over him. Alvin Kamara being one of them. Who's going off at the RB4 and 1.04. And, you know, he battled some leg issues last year. As he said, he had a knee that was a leg that was all torn up, though he did not need to have surgery. He was able to rehab well. And, you know, he was looking good, though, until he missed a few games this past weekend and a few training camp practices. And you know, we're finding out today, this afternoon, a little cheeseman dropping it into our preview, that during this time he was away, that he received an epidural injection in his back when he missed those three practices. So that is something concerning. Usually, I know from personal experience, from people I know, when people have epidural injections, that usually means there's a herniated disc involved to alleviate the pain. And for a running back, I don't know how a running back is going to be able to sustain that, you know, those many hits and still be able to be a viable player. You know, last year he was just under 800 yards rushing, five TDs, as we mentioned. His receiving was still very good. He caught 81 receptions, which incidentally, he has had 81 receptions each one of his three seasons in the NFL. Though last year his receiving yards went down from 709 in 2018 to 533 last year. And the TDs went down from 18 total in 2018 to 6 last year. Is that epidural injection going to be able to be help him to get better? Or is he going to be, you know, hampered by that throughout the season? I got to tell you, I'm not optimistic about that when I hear about these kind of epidural injections, and especially the amount of punishment that a running back takes. I don't know. I'd be really worried. You do not want to get that, you know, you don't want to spend the number four overall pick or, you know, top, you know, a pick in the first half of the first round on a guy that you're worried about his back. So I just do it as you're pick him at your, you know, with caution. Also understand that he's in a contract contract discussion with his team, so there's plenty of negotiations going on, so a lot of noise going on around Alvin Kamara. So we're gonna see bumps of it. Latavius Murray going off as RB41 in the 10th round, or at the end of the 10th round. You know, he's looking for that that kind of production that Mark Ingram had back in 2017, when he had 1,124 rushing yards and another 416 receiving yards to be a top 10 running back alongside Kamara. So is he going to be that complement to Kamara and be more than, you know, a 600-plus yard, you know, rushing yard guy with 235 receiving yards? Those are pretty pedestrian numbers. Definitely worthy of being a pick in the 10th round, kind of that next wave of running backs who could help you. Especially, he is someone who who saw his production increase when Alvin Kamara went out for a game, a couple games actually. So he's definitely draftable. You just don't want to have high expectations of him, unless you think that epidural isn't going to take for Kamara. As I mentioned, superlatives, there are not enough superlatives for Michael Thomas. Can't guard Mike. Going off as wide receiver one, he is going on one point in the first round, 1.05. He is the one receiver, maybe Devontae Adams, who is assured to go in the first round of fantasy drafts. I mean, what a just incredible season. One of the all-time great seasons. Led the NFL with 149 receptions, which is a new NFL record, and ended up with 1,725 yards. He had 149 receptions on 185 targets. That's over 80% catch percentage. You know, he's targeted 26 times on the red zone, caught 20 of them, and all 9 TDs were in the red zone. I mean, this guy plays inside, he plays outside. He had just 6 drops last year. You know, he had, the quarterbacks threw, had a 121.7 passer rating when he got through. I mean, there is just not enough. I mean, we're going to talk about a player in a second who's had 1,000 yards in every one of his seasons, but Michael Thomas had 1,000 yards each one of his 4 seasons in the NFL, and there's no reason to expect that he's going to be anything but the best receiver there. Just absolutely phenomenal team, great offense. They're going to have a lot of they're going to have a lot of opportunities to throw the ball. I mean, they've got Tampa Bay week one. What a shootout that's going to be. Then you got the Raiders. Then you got Green Bay. Pretty good pass defense, not great against the run. Detroit, they have a rookie cornerback who came up who went in the first round. And then the Rams, who are expected to have a good defense this year, being the Ram fan, I hope. But you look at this, and Michael Thomas is going to get plenty of love. Because, you know, really, since he's been there, since his rookie year when he went for 1,000 yards, they had Brandon Cooks also go for 1,000 yards. They haven't had a second receiver come close. Emmanuel Sanders, I mean, just a pro's pro, just a wonderful player. Age 33, but he did not look like he aged a bit last year. He ended up with 869 receiving yards, playing 17 games. He did not have a bye because he was traded to San Francisco during the season from Denver. And he finished with 66 receptions. He's going to be a good complement. I think he's actually going to steal receptions from Jared Cook, who we're going to talk about in a second. Going to be a good ball player. I mean, he is just amazing. I mean, he recovered from a torn Achilles much quicker than a lot of people thought he would. So, going off as wide receiver 43, going in the 10th round, he could be a good bench stash. Maybe somebody you play in the flex on a given week when the buys come around. Just a good ball player, and in a great offense. You just never know. You might get a touchdown. You might end up getting 100 yards with somebody, you know, paying way too much attention to Michael Thomas. You never know. You know, there was an interesting camp note recently on Tre'Quan Smith, who's currently going undrafted on ADP. He had only 18 receptions last year, 234 yards, a largely forgettable season, but a couple of things that may be working in his favor. One was one is the fact that he's he was going into his third year, so he might be a receiver who takes a step forward at this point. You know, he's just a good ball player, you know, great reputation. He was a third round draft pick in 2018. So, and Sean Payton, head coach, he ended up giving some major praise to Tre'Quan Smith, saying that he really grew up and he really took care of his body during the during the off season. And so maybe there's a late round flyer, or maybe keep an eye on him on the waiver wire in the first couple weeks of the season. He could get rewarded for that, for again that year three receiver who comes out of nowhere. You know, we talked about Jared Cook a little bit a second ago, currently going off as the tight end 10, in the eighth round. He got 9 touchdowns last year, which, was great. I think some of that was probably coming from the fact that, that Kamara wasn't as big a receiving threat as he could have been. Jared Cook did get 43 receptions for 705 yards. So, but I'm looking at his production to go down a little bit with Sanders there. I think Sanders is going to eat up some extra receptions, and you never know. Maybe Tre'Quan Smith takes that step forward. You never know. So I'm fading Cook. There are guys like being drafted after him, like Mike Kosicki, Noah Fant, Chris Herndon, those guys, even T.J. Hockenson. Those guys all are coming off the board after. And I think I prefer them to Jared Cook, especially at that ADP. One guy to kind of keep an eye on, Taysom Hill. You know, forever is talked about as kind of like that Swiss Army knife who always does something really cool. Doesn't always help your fantasy team. Someone to keep an eye on. Maybe definitely look at where he qualifies. In some leagues, he qualifies as a tight end, so he could be someone to play. But more than likely, you know, if he's listed at a quarterback, yeah, you're not drafting him. We talked about their schedule a little bit. At the end of the season, they do have a bit of a tough schedule. You know, at Philadelphia, week 14, and then you got KC, which is going to be a shootout like crazy, and then Minnesota, which also has shootout potential there too. And they obviously have a little bit of history going back to Stephon Diggs having that walk off a few years ago in the playoffs. So in the real playoffs. Closing up shop with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, TB12, now in TB, and really it starts with him. I mean, he had over 4,000 pass yards last year, 24-8, and there were people starting to talk about him that maybe he wasn't taking the deep shots anymore. He wasn't throwing the ball, and is it that he didn't have it, or he didn't have the offensive weapons who can go for it? And be worthwhile for him to take those shots downfield, which is something that Bruce Arians likes to do. You look at this one, listening to the early training camp reports, people are talking about that he's his arm's as good as ever. That Cameron Brate, Rob Gronkowski have all said that they've got they're seeing plenty of velocity coming from Tom Brady. You look at that, you know, just the big question mark is, can they keep him upright? Can they keep the pocket clean? Because he is a guy who does not do well in pressure. I mean, what quarterback does? But you look at him and you're just thinking, well, let's make sure to keep his jersey clean. They invested in the offensive line. They're investing in the running backs. They invested in Rob Gronkowski to, you know, so it looks like they're going to do a lot of 12 personnel to really keep, maybe give Brady that extra time to take those downfield shots that Bruce Arians likes. So we're going to see. I mean, you know, there's a lot of optimism down in Tampa Bay. I mean, Brady is going off at the QB8 in the seventh round. You know, he's been a guy who, with a chip on his shoulder, has forever had the chip on his shoulder. You know, you look at him and you're like, you don't want to bet against him. I mean, he still had plenty of arm last year. I mean, maybe, yeah, I think he had plenty of arm. I don't think he was taking the shots downfield like he should have, like he normally would have if he had the weapons. And he's got the weapons this year, probably the best since he had Randy Moss in 2007. And obviously he's not the quarterback he was back then, throwing for 50 touchdowns with 23 of them going to Randy Moss. But if he's close to that, he's going to be throwing up a lot to Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Godwin just came out of nowhere. Well, not out of nowhere. There was some preseason hype around him, but he really just outperformed his ADP. He ended up being a top 10 receiver. I think he ended up number two receiver last year, and just a wonderful, wonderful ball player. Had only one drop the entire season on 121 targets, finished with 86 receptions, 1,333 yards, and that was with missing the last two games of the season. So you got to figure he was gonna continue to on his breakout season. So now year two, or it's actually year four for him. You're looking at him. He is a player that is going off draft boards, going down off as the wide receiver six right now, going in the second round, toward the tail end of the second round, and well worth it. I think Tom Brady is going to be throwing to him plenty. You know, Godwin likes to do that, a lot of those intermediate balls. So he's going to be a ball player to really, get a lot of balls thrown his way. Mike Evans, who is going off as the wide receiver eight in the third round, finished with 1,157 yards. I mentioned how Mike Thomas has gotten 1,000 yards in each of his four seasons. Evans has done it in each of his six seasons, tied with Randy Moss as the only players in NFL history to do that. An incredible ball player. I mean, you look at him in week nine, he had 12 receptions and 16 targets for 180 yards and a touchdown. But there was also week five where he had zero receptions for 0 yards. I mean, it's just, there were a couple of those peaks and valleys games. He had a few weeks there where he was just absolutely en fuego. But you want that consistency. You know, this had the a lot of the look of an Amari Cooper type of season, but again, different quarterback, someone who's more accurate. And the big question that the fantasy experts are asking is Evans going to get the target share with those balls down the field that where he ends up making a lot of noise? I think he is. I think he is. I think this is going to be just a high flying offense this year. It's going to be a fun offense to watch. Brady being a superstar that he is, there's going to be a lot of eyeballs on this, and it's going to be really, it's going to really come down to Godwin and Evans. Though, listening to some of the training camp reports, and one of the people that I think he's one of the NFL writers I respect the most, Peter King, who's been covering the NFL since the 80s, he spent some time at Tampa Bay camp he watched a lot of time where Tom Brady was really doting on OJ Howard, kind of coaching him up, getting him to go full on, and even Howard himself talked about the fact that he needed that he needed to get talked up, and he needed to get pointed in the direction of going hard, so on every play. So we're going to see if that kind of comes through this year. He's going off as the tight end 22, so Peter King himself recommended that to draft OJ Howard this year, that maybe he finds that other gear and with Tom Brady pushing him. So we're going to see. Rob Gronkowski staying in the tight end room, going off as tight end 9 in round 7. Love the guy. You know, he is Mr. Soy Fiesta. We've adopted him as an honorary Mexican. I'm just looking at him as possibly being more of a decoy. He'll have some games where he scores a touchdown and he really helps your fantasy team, but I think he's going to hurt your team more than help your team, especially at that ADP. I'd rather go get another receiver or another running back at that point and, wait on somebody else, maybe even get O.J. Howard later. Closing up the shop with the running back, and it's a mess. It is a mess. Just this afternoon, Leonard Fournette signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. There is going to be a lot of question marks here. Is he going to take over the lead Caballo position? Is Ronald Jones going to hold on to the position? You know, Jones is going off as the RB30 in the sixth round. Up until he was released, Leonard Fournette was going off as the RB18 in the third round. Fournette had 1,100 yards and 52 yards last year. I can't see this happening again for him. I look at him and, I don't think this is going to be much of a backfield that people are going to want. I don't think one guy is going to take the lead role. There was some early buzz about Keyshawn Vaughn, but he missed some time with COVID, and this being a rookie, and Arians has a reputation for not liking rookies, and Fournette's the second veteran running back that's brought into camp. LeSean McCoy was the previous one. I'm just looking at, I put on Twitter earlier, I think you fade this backfield and you just invest in the receivers. That's it. I mean, I look at this, but this is going to be a high-flying offense. There's going to be a lot of shootout potential, especially with a couple games against Carolina, a couple games against Atlanta. And again, at the end of the season, they got Atlanta and Detroit in weeks 15 and 16. So, both of those games are going to be in domes, so there's not going to be any weather. Not that there would be any weather in Tampa Bay to begin with. So there's just some tasty, tasty matchups here for TB12 in TB. So that's it. Eso es todo for our show. Thanks again to Anchor.fm for being our hosting network and for making sure our independent podcast gets out into the Familia community. Please subscribe, rate, and review at Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at FamiliaFFB, as well as our FamiliaFFB Facebook page. Gracias, everybody. And remember, todos somos familia.